is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is a special court meeting. Comments from those in attendance are allowed. They should be on the topic of this meeting, which is Kitsap Transit's first proposal. After being recognized, please step up, state your name and address so we can put that in the minutes, and then speak. If you'd like to speak, maybe after the agenda in a future meeting, you know, if you want to actually have a longer presentation, you can talk to staff about that. So, is there any public comment? Okay. The next topic is discussion with John Clawson from Kitsap Transit on ways that Kitsap Transit and Port of Kingston can work together. Should Kingston Ferry Ballot, or the Kingston Passenger Ferry Ballot Measure pass in 2016? Kitsap Ballot Measure, yeah. Okay, so I'll leave that to John.
Well, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to come up and visit with you and talk about the passenger ferry program and hopefully how we can implement it out of Kingston. I would also like to introduce Carla Sawyer to my left, who Carla is our project manager that's been kind of helping us develop this business plan and the financial plan and bringing it up to this point, and will continue to be with us in this capacity through the election and hopefully beyond. So Carla has a lot of the, so we'd say, the intimate details of the plan and how it's envisioned. But I guess I could start with the assumption that the ballot issue will be successful in November, and if how we move forward with the implementation at that point. There's a lot of components that have to be dealt with in advance of the election, primarily because there's going to be so little time after the election that we've built a fairly aggressive schedule for implementation. So as an example, the plan envisions Kitsap Transit entering into a operating agreement with King County ferries to actually staff the vessels and operate the service for us. There's an awful lot that needs to go into that operating agreement, if you will, or contract. And we've actually been working on, as late as this afternoon, the various aspects of what needs to be included in that agreement and just exactly how we would envision them operating the vessels for us. And yet, for example, the plan, we would have our staff actually here on the docks in the morning to make sure that things are operating like we expect them to operate. So how we integrate our folks, if you will, with their folks, and how that is going to work, along with a number of other aspects up to and including, you know, the light maintenance of the vessels and emergency planning and things of that nature. So we're kind of building that outline as we speak, and we envision actually starting discussion with King County in advance of the election, so that once again the election is successful in November, we can hit the ground running. We will have a lot of vessels that will have to be built. We currently own the Bridge Passage 1 that will allow us to start service in Bremerton as early as the spring of next year, spring, summer. For the wake issues around Bridge Passage, we have to start up somewhere in that June, July time frame. so that we'll have our folks monitoring Ridge Passage, because the plan is to expand the frequency of service beyond the number of segments beyond what we had them measure before. And although they're confident in not having any issues, we're going to make absolutely sure that we understand. So we'll be starting service out of Bremerton in July of next year, while at the same time we've got to get the vessels designed and out the bid and under construction. And we were fortunate in the sense that we have the design for the Bremerton service, but the Kingston service and the Southport service will be kind of unique to these particular routes. So as an example, the vessel, the Ridge Passage vessel that we'll be using on the Bremerton route is a high-speed vessel that carries 118 passengers, wherein the vessel that's envisioned for Kingston will be a bit larger. It'll probably be in the 150 passenger range, but it also has to be maybe not quite as fast as the Ridge Passage, but it still needs to be a fairly fast vessel to be able to provide the crossing time that we envision we would need for this route. Southward is yet another design where we really don't need the speed, but because of not having docking facilities in Southward, those vessels are going to be designed somewhat following the Washington State Ferries model that they were working towards with their passenger program, where the vessels would be large enough to be able to pull into the car slip of the Southward dock, and that's how we would envision operating the service on the Southward route. So it's going to be a bigger boat. It'll probably be in a 250 passenger range. But we're also going to design one of those to be high speed so that it can be a backup for the Kingston or Southward. It can provide double duty, if you will, as a spare boat. We envision the Kingston route to be a side loading, whereas the Southward would be a bow, so a bow loading. So those vessels would be designed that could do either. And of course, when they get to Seattle, they're going to be side loading because of the facilities that we have in Seattle. So that's, you know, on a very high level and a very quick summary. We expect to start service here in Kingston in, correct me if I'm wrong, Carl, 2018. Mm-hmm. We envision that we should have a vessel ready to go so that we can start service in 2018. It'll take us a little bit longer to get service going in Southward, but it will be a couple of years probably after the Kingston startup that we'll get Southward going. So as you can see, we're gonna basically build five additional ferries vessels as quickly as we can. The nice thing about having unique vessels, if you will, for each route is that gives us the ability to have multiple companies building these vessels. We don't necessarily have to go to one particular vendor. So we could have vessels under construction almost at the same time. So that's kind of how we envision the orchestration, if you will, of the construction of these vessels. Some of the timing issues and why we can't build any sooner kind of falls with the grant cycles for applying for the funding and getting the funding to build the boats. We've had very positive conversations with the FTA, and we envision going after a particular pot of money that's called the Small Starts. There's different...
$11 million Small Start?
Well, it's interesting. They have a bucket that they call New Starts, but our $48 million capital project is too small to go after New Starts. So we have to go to Small Starts. That is more of the size that you could go with a $48 million request. request, so.
Yeah, we were at the advocacy group meeting, as you were. I think before you showed up, a question went around the table with Carla about redundancy in Bremerton next year. Do you have a plan put in place if the ridge goes down next year?
Well, the one thing that we feel fairly comfortable with starting Bremerton without having spares is that we're going to consider that great big white and green one that's 100 yards south of our dock as the spare. In other words, Washington State Ferries. We envision working with them to develop a plan, whereas if the bridge passage does go down, people that have their passes for our boats would be able to go and just get on Washington State Ferries, and we will work out an arrangement to be able to reimburse them. We also envision, as part of that, of being totally integrated into the Orca smart card system, so the pass that would be put on the Orca card for our operation could easily be recognized and accepted and tracked by Washington State Ferries. So that's kind of what our plan is, and we'll use Washington State Ferries as a backup until we're able to get the other ridge passing vessels constructed.
What's the speed of the Kingston boat?
It's going to make a, it's targeted for a 33-minute crossing, so it's 35-plus knot speed to do that. I think it's 35 to 38 is what I remember the target speed for it.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to be pretty quick.
When you start operating Kingston, what are you going to ask of us, the port, for, you know, cooperation or access, or what are you going to need from us under your plan?
Well, obviously the dock and the float to be able to come and go from that. We need to work out an arrangement with you because we envision investing money into that facility to improve it. We probably just need to really sit down and give it some thought. I'm not sure what your fueling opportunities are here. If you have fuel available, you know, maybe that's something that we'd want to look at by positioning these vessels wherever it makes the most sense for fueling. So it'll be those kinds of arrangements.
You know, we do have high speed fueling here. I don't know what the capacity is, but it was used when the Port of Kingston was running the Sound Runner, and that's out on our fuel dock. As long as there's no problem with the size of the boats getting in to there, that would be the fueling access.
Yeah.
And I guess another question I have is,
on your question, Magus, on services, what about gray water?
That's probably not a bad thing to include if you have those pop up.
Well, we have been approached on a grant from, I'm trying to think of Grand Ecology, or for a major gray water facility out on our ferry dock, if you want to call that, for example. So that would be something we would need lead time for if we were looking into that. They were going to provide that because this is a good place for commercial gray water in Puget Sound, and you've seen the papers and all that. So,
well, those kinds of opportunities, I think, are opportunities that, to me, it would make sense that we could work together on doing something like that. So that, you know, I wouldn't expect the port to take on all of those services or responsibilities for our needs. Now, obviously, if you put something in, it's going to be made available to more than just us. But I think there might be an opportunity where we could share in grant opportunities and matching opportunities, things of that nature that could help us.
We did identify possibly adding potable water and sewage facilities for the cross town boat, and did set aside funds for that in the capital plan. So
okay.
We are anticipating making that investment.
Go ahead.
You mentioned a minute ago about having your staff. Obviously, we'd have some kind of agreement with you, and King County can operate the boat. We're talking about a three-way interagency agreement between Kitsap Transit, Port of Kingston, and King County.
I would envision the agreements being more between Kitsap Transit and the port. The agreements for the operation of it And depending on, there might be some nuances that we have to deal with, would be an operating agreement between King County and Kitsap Transit, so they would be our contractors, if you will. But, you know, those are the kinds of things that we probably need to look at. And again, we're just building these components for the King County operation. One of the things that I was thinking about on the way up here was that these vessels are going to start pretty early in the morning, and I'm not sure what even the parking opportunities are for the crews. Both the customer service folks that will be here, as well as, you know, I'm envisioning that the crews will more than likely be on this side of Puget Sound because of the early starts. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of opportunities for somebody that lives in Seattle to get over here time to start to close up. Yeah. So I'm envisioning that their employees will be residents of Kitsap County.
Those are exactly the kind of things we're talking about, because we're looking at some of the parking we have now, actually developing that into something other than parking. So we need to be aware that if this measure passes, we're going to need to keep that parking as parking. Because 150, 200 people boarding the ferry is going to take a lot.
Well, certainly if you have parking available for the users, that's great. We have arranged, we have a parking right just down the road here at the church that is terribly underutilized, that we envision running buses from to the boats. George's Corner is another one where we have a park and ride where a fair number of the folks that park there currently get on buses and ride to Bainbridge. Well, we'll divert them to here.
So the existing drop-off would work. You wouldn't need to improve the drop-off facilities at the port to support this. I'm hearing you say this is, it would fit into the current footprint and format.
Yeah. That was the assessment, yes.
Yeah. Have you guesstimated or established how big your crews will be? I'm going back to your comment about crew parking. How many are there? Three?
Captain and two deckhands.
Deckhands and then one or two people shoreside.
More than likely there would be one.
Yeah, one shoreside.
It could be two with, you know, crossover, but essentially what we're envisioning is that one of our customer service folks would be here, because we're going to be building this system with the capability to have a reservation system. And if you have a reservation system, you're going to have somebody there that's going to verify that you have a reservation. So that's part of the duty as well of our person, again, also making sure that things are working like we all want them to work.
Would you need to secure access after hours to the float?
I believe we would, especially if we're going to tie up here, because there's, although the security requirements, well, they could go up just because we're going into the Seattle dock. Homeland Security and Coast Guard actually have different levels of security that we have to abide by, and for the most part, 150 passenger and lower, your requirements are much less than if you go over 150. But we're thinking that because we go into a secure facility in Seattle, that might trigger us to need to ramp up our security requirements on this site. So that would be some of the other improvements that we would need to make to the dock and the floor expansion.
Do you envision a ticketing kiosk?
Probably not. We're in the process right now of starting to design the next generation Orca, although my hope is we'll have the ferries operating way before we have the next generation of Orca, just knowing how long that takes. But we do think that the Orca system will deal with most of the ticketing things.
Kind of totally address the cash or single fare tickets, and King County does have ticket vending machines, and just don't really know exactly how that's going to work out. There may, we did a budget for a single ticket vending machine at each of the locations on the west side, but not certain exactly how that's going to
work. Are you going to collect fares both ways, then?
What we envision the fares to be would be $2 when you're going eastbound and 10 coming back, basically.
That's the full cash fare. There would be discounts if you were
a monthly user. Yeah, there's discount with the pass, but the fact is that people won't be able to get on our boat right for free over like they can Washington State ferries. But conversely, they don't have to pay the entire round trip fare of what's going westbound like they do.
I would think that the ability for a walk-up fare, particularly when we're talking about non-commuters, is really important.
Yeah, it would be, especially during the summer months. The schedule is basically running all day long. So there would be riders that would be more than just commuters. But again, one of the things that we're looking at, and this begs a question of how we distribute it, but is disposable worker cards for those occasional users. But there would still have to be some way to vet that thing, so yes.
Currently, King County has a fare box, so they have collected cash, and then they are also with debit cards. I don't believe they accept credit cards, issuing single payments through the ticket vending machine, and it's kind of cumbersome, clunky to have all that going on, so we're all looking at what are the options.
So the crew, using the crew to collect tickets.
Yeah, they use a fare box, like a bus fare box on wheels.
Yeah, so they could just do that.
We've installed Ventec machines for our parking and for our boat ramp, and it's worked very well, because you can use a debit card, or you can put cash in, and just spit on a ticket, so takes a little small comparison.
It's pretty much our crew members using parking on, but it's the same basic thing.
Our crew members had a device, so they just, when they cast the boat off, they would go around, put up the fares and scan the tickets and throw people over to the pay. But it was a pretty simple technology, I think. Just a question, you replace the brow, right?
I'm sorry?
The brow that goes out to the Verlaine, you would replace that for the operation.
Those.
So you'd be thinking about weather protection there?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a long walk out there. You know,
yeah, covered walkway improvements there.
Yeah.
Your sea legs.
I just want to emphasize again, I think one of the concerns in the community is that is this going to be a elite service that is only for commuters and benefit everybody else? And I think that being able to assure people that it will be as well set up for non-commuters with occasional user is going to be really important for anyone in Kingston talking on behalf of the project.
Well, there's a couple things that kind of go in that direction, Mary, and certainly the schedule during whatever you want to call it, the peak season, is an all-day-long schedule, so that clearly is going to be for folks other than just commuters. The other thing, too, is that the way we're envisioning the fare structure to be set up, there's going to be like a reduced fare opportunity for seniors, disabled, students, low income. So folks that are clearly outside of that grouping of commuters, although there's a number of senior commuters that I'm aware of, they still would be eligible for a reduced fare to encourage that kind of use. Certainly one of the things that we heard when we did our community outreach and the development of the plan was other uses beyond commute and how important it was. And there were things like opportunities for school to get to the U, medical appointments, things of that nature that clearly fall outside of that commuter mentality. Now, during the winter months, when you generally don't have an awful lot of that, then the schedule is designed to be commuter hour kind of thing. And we're pretty much following what King County does with theirs. They've discovered with their water taxi, for example, that during the winter months, there's just no ridership to justify all day. Whereas, we were talking to you April, May timeframe through September, October, that will be all day long. Friday nights, we're going to go, Friday and Saturday nights, we'll go late with the last sailing out of Seattle in the 11:30 p.m.
The financial plan was built very conservatively. We discounted revenue quite significantly. But the other side of that is there will be opportunities if the program performs the way the forecast suggests it would, not what we actually built into the financial plan, to add additional service as demand warrants it.
Does that, are you going to do things like special events? What I'm thinking of specifically was one of the things that the Sound Runner was gearing up to do, and I think had some success before it ended, was Sunday runs to Seahawks games, for example, or Mariners events. Is that anywhere in your plan? I mean, that might help sell it. I know it's not necessarily going to be a break even from the start, but is that something that's at least out of consideration?
Yes, that's something that was pointed out to us, is those kind of special events, whether it's a Mariners or Sounders or Seahawks or the Seahawks parade or, you know, whatever. And yes, we can do those kinds of special trips, if you will. Obviously, we've got to make sure that they're going to be productive. We don't want to run over three people because it is an expensive ride. But
having been on the Bainbridge run after a football game, I can.
Yeah,
there's a number
sure
of kids out people who go to the.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do. And, you know, again, this is where that reservation system might come into play, to where we can have some level of assurances that we're going to have enough people show up at the dock to justify the operation.
Does King County run on Sunday?
The West Seattle service runs on Sunday during April through October.
Vashon Island doesn't.
Vashon Island is always only Monday through Friday.
On Sunday, you know, and I appreciate Seahawks games on Sunday and that sort of thing. It's something that we're going to have to deal with. The way that this is being presented to the community, it's going to be operated by Kitsap Transit. It's not a special ferry district, although the funding is special. It can only be used for the boats. It begs the issue of, we currently don't operate buses on Sunday. So we're going to have to deal with, are we going to run boats on Sunday and not buses on Sunday? And that whole issue of Sunday service is something that we're grappling with right now, even on the bus side of the world, because it's some survey work that we've done. It's really dependent on who you ask. If you ask our existing bus riders, they want Sunday service. If you ask people who would love to use Kitsap Transit but currently don't, and what would it take for them to use it, they want more frequent, they want later evening, you know, they don't care about Sunday. So we're grappling with that, and I just got permission to bring on some outside consultants to help us work with the community to try to get some consensus around those two issues. Because as the economy comes back and as we get into a position of being able to add service on the bus side of the house, where do we add it? And in fact, if this plan is approved, it envisions that our current ferry operation that runs between Bremerton and Port Orchard and Bremerton and Annapolis, transit system is paying about $1.5 million a year to fund that ferry operation. It's a very efficient bus route. But we're envisioning to move the cost of that ferry operation under the new ferry funding, which would free up $1.5 million for what transit is currently paying to enhance the bus service.
Yeah.
Well, ironically, $1.5 million is about what it would cost for us to turn the system on for Sunday. So, I mean, if that was the option that we were going to go with, we could turn the buses on.
Would you keep the Carlisle or give it to King County?
Oh, these boats are ours.
Right.
We're not giving any of these vessels.
I meant not into operation. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. No, it's a completely different kind of an operation now. Our current contractor, it's being operated by a private operator. When that contract comes up for, you know, to go out to bid, we'll revisit it at that point. But right now, as I said, that's If it was a bus route, it is the most efficient, cost-effective bus route we have in our entire system. So I don't want to mess with that. It works well.
They broke and fix it.
Yeah, exactly.
On that issue of cost, I know it's a question we're going to get hit with, and I went to a couple of your presentations early on, and the level of subsidy that's going to be required. Mm-hmm. I know that every public transportation system in the world requires subsidy. I guess the question that I'm expecting to get hit with is, and have you had a chance to scope this out, is the level of per passenger subsidy that you're anticipating, say on the Kingston line, is that higher or lower than some comparable ferry systems or comparable bus systems that provide public transit?
Well, before I answer that directly, I've got to make sure that people understand when we built this plan, it was built extremely conservatively. So we underestimated the ridership, we overestimated the expenses, so that, you know, we can make absolutely sure that what we're telling people we're going to do, we could do. Mm-hmm. We built this plan with the expectation, based on ridership projections and cost projections, that we'll probably start, well, it's going to change as we ramp up. Obviously, when we start with one boat, it's going to be pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. But we envisioned that, what was it, like 28%? Will be coming out of the fare box. So 28% of the cost will be recovered. So the remainder, the 72% is going to be covered by subsidy. Now, is that standard? I believe King County is
just about the same as what King County. King County recovers a higher rate on Vashon, but a lower rate on West Seattle. So their averages are right about the same.
Well, the PVA report said about 30%. Except for things like already different,
if you go to New York City where you've got really high congestion costs, and they can get a whole lot more money for those.
Well, I just heard that some of the ferry operations in the Bay Area are, they just hit 50%, which they're shooting the fireworks off and waving the flag. So, but again, we built this plan to be very conservative. We envision as time goes on that will change. Mm-hmm. Honestly, with the low ridership projections that we have, I personally think that we're going to have a stronger ridership than what we're predicting, and that will certainly have an impact on the fare box recovery. The more people you can put on that one sailing, the less you're subsidizing.
Sure.
But now you also got to keep in mind, too, that because we've expanded the day, there's going to be a lot of sailings in the middle of the day that it's more of a service than it is to recover the cost. You're just not going to have the ridership in the middle of the day that if it were a business, you probably wouldn't run.
Yeah, you've got to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, you've got to look at the big picture.
There's an odd little phenomenon, though, in forecasting ridership that more service gets you more riders than just the additional service, because if people's perception of it's the boat there all the time makes people more willing to ride at any time. So, I mean, it's not a one-to-one, but actually the more service you put on the water, you can even greater growth in ridership. So putting that service out midday, it's probably going to get make the service more attractive overall.
So does that 28% factor in the variability among routes? Runs.
That's what we're figuring, the average for the entire system. We didn't break it down. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you did, but
we do have it. I don't have it right now. Yeah, we did look at route by route, but the average, he's talking about the consolidated route number.
Circling back to parking, I'm hearing you say that the crew parking is de minimis. You know, you're three people on a boat,
and maybe
a
customer.
So that's not an impact. But I'm hearing customer parking is not reason for us to look at our parking capacity in our future planning for the port. That actually it's countercyclical because most of our peak demands on weekends, and of course your commuters aren't running on the weekends.
Right, right.
But I'm hearing that's not a consideration for our future planning of site utilization.
Well,
your customer parking, your analysis is that that's not going to be an issue we should be thinking about as we go forward in planning our.
I wouldn't ask you to not think about it. It's kind of what you want your port to be. If you, in envision that as an opportunity to make a dollar or two on a parking space, you know, we'd encourage it. But on the other hand, I don't want to plug up downtown Kingston with commuters. I mean, there's a higher, better use for waterfronts than parking lots, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're talking about capacity.
Yeah.
Planning. How much do we need to hold back on developing parking lot space to something else?
We envision that we're going to need to develop more park and ride spaces, but we need to develop more park and ride spaces today. So, you know, we're looking in the Central Kitsap area. We just worked out a deal with the Suquamish tribe about using a portion of their parking structure. So we're always looking for parking opportunities.
You will plan shuttle service between the parking ride and your ferry time to be able to, so that'll solve that problem.
Yes, exactly. And we envision that a lot of the service that we have currently that's directed to Bainbridge will be turned around and be coming this direction. So, for example, my guess would be probably from the casino, those buses would be coming north instead of going south.
To touch back again, the bus drop-off facilities are adequate as they are in your built-out situation.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, and we'll probably need to take a look at that and see, but we've been chatting with WSF about some changes that they're looking at for the Kingston dock that would give our buses better access down in there. So, you know, that might solve our problem.
More like our park design. We have a bit, got something different there.
Yeah.
We don't know. I mean, we're assuming not. But this goes through, we have to think about, well, how do we accommodate a lot more buses going through with a lot more people?
Yeah.
Complete Streets on Washington Boulevard did look at bus traffic through there. So I think Public Works is even considering that right now, what happens if.
So these plans are moving forward, you know, and it's going to be a narrower street and all
right.
And that parking, that shelter will go down from the park space. So you know, those things are moving forward, and if you have something that we need to consider, then we should know about that as the earliest.
Well, I could say in just general that bus connection to the Kingston dock is going to continue to become more and more important for us. So we've had challenges. You know, the state provided us that curb lane, if you will, for buses, but when the queue backs up halfway through the town before you can even get to the toll booths, our buses can't even get there. So that's the thing that we're challenged with, and we've been battling since God created Kitsap Transit. We're working with WSF that they're talking about that hopefully might improve that. And I would think that you guys are probably in the same discussion with them as well on some of the stuff that they're thinking about. So.
They haven't talked to us about that. We did have part of drop off, well, it was Kiss and Ride, that we've grassed over in Wallace Park area, but I don't see your buses getting down there unless it's a small bus, small shuttle bus. Convenient to get in and out of our parking lot, but that's something that would be, we need to be thinking about during the planning. Because I think we have access there, but not for a full length bus.
Our hope is that the ridership will require the big buses, but we just took delivery of some smaller ones. So.
One thing that perhaps we should have an eye on is the number of riders who might show up. Whatever other way they're getting to Seattle now, they'll show up here, but they won't show up on a bus. Mm-hmm. So they'll need a place to park. And we got to think about that, I think, a little bit. What would we do if we start running into that? I don't know what our utilization rate is on weekday parking now. I know we've increased the number of pay-for-parking stalls, but...
And they also just drop-off. Right now, the drop-off and pick-off is primarily by Drifters, across the street from Drifters, sometimes down there, but... We could look for just maybe a better way of doing it. Maybe you could have a dry shelter over by the bandstand or something like that, and thinking more about
a greater density of walk-ons being dropped off and being picked up in addition to the parking.
Yeah.
But that's something we could put thinking about in terms of our planning. It's nice now. I'm not in favor.
Yeah, there's a lot of drop-off and pick-up down there behind the bandstand, but that also becomes a choke point.
Mm-hmm.
If you got more than two cars there, it starts backing up.
We could reorient parking down that area for use with, I think.
We want you to be successful, so we're trying to think of...
Oh, I very much appreciate it. We want to be successful as well, but we also recognize that we all need to be successful to make this more great.
I guess we're talking about interlocal agreement. And it's kind of whether, I think you're more than a tenant. I think you'd be a partner, or we'd be, because you actually, ferries are still in our strategic plan. So this is a port goal as well as it is your goal. So I think at least I'm looking at this as moving forward on something that's been a long-term goal for this port. So,
I think it's good if Carolyn's here for this discussion because I can see your wheels turning, thinking about these interlocal agreements and who are we agreeing with for what? What's going to be covered? And
with that opening, can I add that I've been very critically listening to the comments here today, and of course we're all aware of the prohibition on using public facilities to advocate one way or other for initiative or ballot proposition. And so it's been really great that all the comments here are talking about functions and duties and roles, and there hasn't been that advocacy that keeps us in the clear. So.
Well, us commissioners can run a block on our own.
We have no doubt that you're not going to do that.
Well, Jim circulated a little memo to us the other day that gave us all
peace and
good guidance.
I think there's a fine point, though. If we've had ferries in our strategic plan long before I was a commissioner, then we don't necessarily need to get full cost recovery on interlocal agreement. Because it's a partnership on a common goal. It's not like we're going to say, well, how much money would we get if we put a cruise ship there instead of a ferry boat?
Yeah, moving ahead to the consideration part of the ILA, the interlocal agreement, you're exactly right. You just need to trace it and have the audit trail to a economic development purpose, which is what
you're all
about.
Which it is. Yeah. You betcha. Mm-hmm. Big time.
I think it's safe to say that the port is in the middle of quite a few planning projects right now. So any... ideas on function that you can throw at us, even as wild as they are, at least we can be thinking of them. For instance, I'm going to propose to the commissioners we build a new administration office, which will be right at the head of Passenger Ferry Dock. And if we need a kiosk, that should be in our thoughts designing that building. So those are all the things we want to know about if we can.
And we'll go back and really concentrate on this facility and kind of walk our way through these things and see specifically what we might want to come up and chat with you about.
We're doing a site development plan. We'll talk about it. We're engaging a contractor in the next month or so. And it was focused on some underdeveloped properties. But you've got to consider the whole needs of the whole site before you can say, well, this is exactly how we're doing it. So that's why I'm kind of asking you questions on what projected needs, because this should be like 20 years down the road, or whatever, when your systems mature, would you need on the site so we can factor that into how we might develop the rest of the site, even though it may not be immediately adjacent. Parking is, it's kind of like things like that. So it would be helpful for us to know your projections on what the needs might be to support the ferry terminal, if you want to call that. And then we can factor that into the study that we've got.
Well, like I said, we'll go back and, we've had these development sessions, if you will, on different aspects. The whole issue of fares took us a while to kind of walk through all these different scenarios. So we can do that with this facility and try to capture as much of those specifics that we can help you with. As long as everybody understands, there's the caveat that all of this is great in our minds, but until the election in November, once the election happens, and assuming that the election passes, I would envision Kitsap being a much greater partner with you in some of this effort that you're underway with right now that I just can't commit to today. So
yeah.
I can tell you what we think we're going to need, but to be a real partner, which I would envision we'd want to be, because it's not just on your shoulders.
Yeah. There's a complexity around timing. The grant money that we have from the state really envisions that we will come up with a plan and proposal by the end of this year, and which is very shortly after the election.
Yes, yes.
And so I realize that we can't be
100%,
but we can anticipate what the issues
are. Yeah, we'll try to capture as many of those things that we can on. This would be nice to have. This is what we really need. That sort of thing.
I mean, something like the kiosk inside the administration building is, that's not ultimately something we have to button down before the election, because that's the timeline on that is such, and you're talking about reconfiguring internal space as opposed to doing something entirely different. But there are other pieces of this that are, that we do need to know as we move forward.
Well, one of the things you asked about secure space, maybe if you're going to build a new administration building, a small office would be wonderful. And that's the kind of thing that would be nice to know today versus putting up a little ticket vending machine somewhere in the corner. Mm-hmm. I understand.
There is a little kiosk there. You're welcome to it. It's not heated. I think it's got electricity, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
electricity. I think it does.
Yeah.
And it's nice. It's a little, it's a cute little clubhouse.
No,
cozy for one club member.
A ticket window.
Well, and you know, some of those infrastructure needs as well that were obviously when you folks were operating the service, that connection because of the ORCA needs, you know, having a vibrant connection to the world, it's there, but we're just gonna be able to put, you know, our server in the same space. That's
and you would have an agreement with State Ferries for the dock at South Point.
Yeah.
So any complications with the lease that we have with Ferries would probably be worked out through both of those processes. For example, we couldn't sell food in our kiosk because they have a vending on the ferry, you know, so on the dock because we're renting it. So there's some nuances there where their labor or contractual agreements constrict how the space they rent can be used because we own the dock, but we rent it to them under terms. So.
And in case of Southworth, I envision their staff raising and lowering the grant, not us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yes, those are going to be worked out.
Would you envision that here if the bow loading boat was being used as a backup on the Kingston Run?
No, because the vessels will be designed to side load.
Okay.
When we go into Seattle, everything is side loader.
Right.
So
okay.
They'll be both. They can pull into Garslid, but they'll also be able to pull up to the flow.
Mm-hmm. So either boat running here would be using side loading.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Southworth is the only one that would be using the bow loader at this point.
Okay.
I hear everything you're saying about a conservative plan. We all have read the Bertha saga. And I think the question of whether or not the spring 2017, that's what you said, is how solid that is, and I realize the world doesn't unfold the way we always plan, but is that as conservative a projection as some of the other financial projections?
No, it's pretty aggressive, but the reason that we're pretty comfortable with it is we already have a boat. We already have the dock. We already have fueling facilities in Bremerton.
We already ran the service,
so it really is just putting the crew in the boat and flicking the switch. And again, by having Washington State Ferries right next to us as a backup, we're fairly comfortable with being able to start service up that quickly. Although, that's why we're starting discussions with King County, so that the day after the election, we can, well, take the next board meeting, I don't have to get authority to sign the agreement, but we're going to have the agreement ready to be signed at that next board meeting so that we can, they're obviously going to need to hire folks, get them trained up.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the winter months we're going to take advantage of it.
While we're on the subject of backups, I'm sorry, Mary, were you going to?
I was going to push a little harder about the summer of 18 for Kingston, where you don't have the boats.
Yeah, that's the challenge. And, you know, I think it's going to be fairly aggressive, to be honest with you, but we're going to do everything humanly possible to, again, because we're going to have potential multiple builders. And it doesn't really require a super sophisticated vessel, it just needs to be quick. So it's probably going to be jets instead of props. But it's a standard kind of off-the-shelf catamaran, 150 passenger, it's nothing really super unique. I think we're going to be able to meet that schedule.
Do you have the same requirements as Washington State Ferries? Build Washington?
No.
You can go anywhere.
Although, there's a lot of this kind of boat builder in the Puget Sound region. So, my hope would be that it would be built here in Puget Sound. But
if somebody from Alabama wanted to build a bid, they could.
It's entirely possible. But we do have a Buy America issue that we have to live with under the federal rules.
In Alabama.
It's part of America. If we can't go up to Canada and buy it, you know, have a boat built. So,
I'm not going to apologize first before saying this, but in the interim, before you have a fleet of boats, if your boat broke down, the express could get to Seattle before your boat from Southworth could get to Kingston, so that you would be able to deliver for your customers before you could get a backup boat up here. Now, it could be a gap solution, but that boat could serve if you broke down a couple hours before, you know, but if your crew got there, went to start, or whatever, it didn't operate. So there may be some arrangements, since we already own it. It could be FTA owned to that kind of, you know, and it could be a partnership arrangement that might serve, because your backup boat is either in Bremerton or in Southworth, and the transit time has got to be a half an hour.
Well,
because you got to go through Rich Passage, right?
Not necessarily.
Well, in any event, we can have people in Seattle. You can have people in Seattle with the express before your backup boat could be loaded and underway from
and,
here.
You know, I don't want to completely discount that by any means. I don't want, to be honest with you, I don't want to rely on it. And the other thing I was going to say, that it's entirely possible that that spare might be tied up in Seattle, because it's going to be operated by King County, and they could probably staff it fairly quickly and go either direction.
But your customers are still waiting ahead.
Oh, I'm no argument.
In terms of
no argument.
Being able to get on a boat and head down there, maybe get in 10 minutes later.
It's, yeah, no argument.
We're just offering you.
I don't want to discount.
No cost, actually.
I don't want to discount it, but I just don't want to rely on it.
It's a reliable boat.
Yeah, no, it's just, in my opinion, it's the wrong boat.
Probably 30 knots.
How many?
30, yeah. So it's not going to be as fast. But you got to consider.
But it means walking.
Yeah. Or sitting.
Or swimming.
Well, you got to think of the time it takes to get your backup boat to Kingston. Even if it goes slower, the total time for that customer to get to the destination is going to be a lot less. And, you know, I'm talking about an interim until you've got your fleet built up where you've got a, you know, but it could be a good gap filler for the early days.
Absolutely.
Because it's really frustrating for a rider if they get on the boat and the boat can't run. That's pretty disruptive, you know, and you all will get the backup boat, but it's going to be here a half an hour or something like that. So just offer that as I told you I was going to apologize. I think it's a brilliant idea.
No reason to apologize.
For the record, please send your cards and letters to John Clausen at Kitsap Transit.
Well, maybe we can help you transfer that interest over to King County, and it could be sitting over there. So there we go.
Either way. Well, I'm kind of thinking of having it here.
Yeah, no,
I mean, I was involved in that, and I remember the times when we had a catamaran and a passenger car, but it was great to have a boat that you could say, okay, get off this boat, get on that boat, and go.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, most of the non-sailings, let's say half of them, had to do with passengers, not boats. The boats can handle the weather, but the passengers can't. So often, you wouldn't sail because the boat was... the weather was too rough, not because the boat couldn't handle it. So I understand that. But.
Well, and there's when you have backup vessels, and appreciating that if we have bad weather, it's going to affect all three routes. there are things that you can do operationally. You slow down the boat and start your second boat so that you can maintain the schedule.
Shift to a monohull.
Yeah, I mean, there's things that you can do to deal with those, but.
And the boats that are being built for Southwood, they're a lot bigger.
Yeah.
They will ride better than the smaller boats too, so that's an option also.
Okay.
So is the deal with Southwood, that the fact that it's so much larger and it's so much further out, is, talk a little bit about the demand and why they need such a larger boat.
It's not size to demand, it's size to, you can't put a small boat in there, it'll slip underneath and get crushed by the ferry dock. You need a big enough profile. And so in order to get a boat that big, it could carry up to 250. Now, you don't necessarily have to certify it for that, but you have to build a bigger boat to bow load in the auto slip. So it's not demand, passenger demand driven.
Because of the Southward facility doesn't have anything for passenger vessels.
Right.
We initially, in our first plan, looked at how long do we think it would take to go through the environmental permitting construction, and it was basically 10 years after the vote. And when we brought that concept to the Southward community and they said, you want me to approve the tax and you'll be back in 10 years, ain't gonna happen. So we went back and regrouped and looked at it and thought, you know, WSF was heading down this path for a reason. We could take advantage of the dock that's there today. So we just need to build a bigger boat, and when we looked at kind of the cost benefit, it really worked out to be a smarter move to go with a bigger boat. And we need, as Carl says, the size to fit into the wing walls and be able to hold the weight of that car ram sitting down on it. You just need a bigger boat.
4 minutes. And so bigger boat configuration will go on into the future?
Yes.
We anticipate building a second. There'd be the first 250, and that one would probably be a slower speed because Southwood doesn't need the extra speed, so why burn the extra fuel? But the second boat would be built at speed, so it could be a backup to Kingston. And also, if demand is that strong, it gives
might
you an opportunity for a primary vessel that's bigger, too.
Sure.
So it gives us a little flexibility that way.
When that boat comes online.
And you know, in our ridership projections, the Kingston Rob actually has a little bit more of a concern of whether 150 is going to be adequate.
Yeah.
Actually, I heard the rental of the float comes with a boat. Yeah.
Look at how late it is.
I suppose we could ask, is there anyone in the audience that has a question at this point? We had public comment. We have a few minutes. Okay, good.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys very much, and we will be in touch.
And that way, weather's not that far away.
Yeah, no, I'm.
We're going to blink, and it'll be Christmas.
There was a round corner.
Well, again, thank you very much for arranging this. And there are some things that we do need to deal with.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's
Do you want to take a break?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to recess.
We will recess for 5 minutes. Is that enough? And we'll meet at 5 after 7.
We're actually going to adjourn. Mm-hmm.
Adjourn.
Until special meeting.
This meeting's adjourned, and we'll reconvene at 5 after 7.
Yeah. Okay. Which is, I show that as like 8 minutes from now. Are you showing exactly 7?
I have exactly 7 on my watch.
I have 6:58.